It's really refreshing just to meet familiar friends like Matt. There's a lot of men in ministry who change. I think those of you that are long-timers here at this church, you've seen quite a few people. They jettison their biblical convictions, Baptist biblical convictions, I might add, after only a couple years. And it's really refreshing to see people like Matt. When I first came to Bible college, Matt had just lost his father to cancer. And he could have gotten bitter, but I believe that the grace of God kept him very tender towards that. And Matt's been a very steady person. I don't think he's changed his. I know you're not standing up here on a Hawaiian shirt on Sunday mornings. I watched the live stream, a couple videos before I got here, Brother Matt. But hey, church, the best thing we can do to help our pastor, keep coming for the services. I know that here in the Bay Area, people commute. I know that some of you probably just came in, however many minutes from San Jose or, Cupertino, wherever you commute from. And you know what we can do? What we can do to help our pastor, Brother Haynes, find the people that are Sunday morning only and just say, poke them in the ribs and say, hey, you missed an awesome message Wednesday night. Or, hey, you missed an awesome message on Sunday night. But it's the same message. No, it's not. Same book, different topic. Same Jesus, same Lord, same God, same church. But hey, we need an extra infusion of truth in a society that's filled with lies, don't we? And you know what? The way we're going to help our pastor's leadership, I want to encourage you, show up for soul winning. I know that the majority of your only day off is Saturday, but take tracts in your hands. Pass them out in the parking lot. They'll probably kick you out of the store in Walmart if you pass out inside and start hollering about Jesus inside. But in the parking lot, they're not going to kick you out of the parking lot. They need your business really badly if you pass out tracts in the parking lot at Costco or Walmart. But I'm just saying that because your pastor's gotten away for a couple days, and I hope that he'll come back refreshed. But what a refresher it is when more people are doing more good for the cause of our Lord Jesus Christ. I know I'm preaching to the choir here. I'm preaching at people that you're already coming here on Wednesday night. That says something. But we need more people who need to be in church on Wednesday night, and we know that. Now, I know there's some excuses like, hey, they're down at Fine Arts Conference and everything like that. But I'm talking about the people who are normally not here on a Wednesday night or a Sunday evening. If you just poke them in the rib and say, hey, you missed what the Holy Spirit could have done in your heart. Let's all stand, if we could, please open up our Bibles to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, a very familiar passage. By the way, this is a beautiful building. I'm hoping that you'll fill it up. I can take you to churches where, thank you, Brother Matt, I can take you to churches where they're fitting 300 people in literally a section just like this on the right-hand side. This is a beautiful building, folks. Hope God will use you to fill it up. James chapter 4, verse 6. Give me a Baptist amen once you arrive there. Amen. That's not bad for Presbyterians. Let's try that again. When you arrive there, give me a Baptist amen when you arrive at verse 6. Let's all read it out loud all together. The Word of God is so precious, it ought to be spoken together. On the count of 6. 1, 2, verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. The title of my message is very simple. More. More. Shall we pray? Father, I thank you for the Shadow Mountain Baptist Church, which you raised up to be a beacon of light just outside of Silicon Valley. And we thank you for the sacrifice which your members have given of their time, of their talents, of their treasures, of their energies, of their souls and spirits, and of their bodies. I pray that you use that which is written from the Word of God to bless and strengthen your people. Lord, we put no confidence in the flesh, that methods of the flesh will not bring the grace of God, that just simply doing what we've always done will not bring more of your presence, Lord. We need more. I pray that you pour out your Spirit, that there would be just a great, awesome meeting of the Lord here tonight with us, that you'd help this congregation and take them to new levels, closer to the Lord, to bring about the necessary changes in our heart, that those of us who thought we were doing enough, Lord, you do even more with our hearts. And you do more, even more, Lord God, through new people, which whom you will bring this Sunday morning. I pray that you use this message to help strengthen the pastor's leadership and with his staff. That, Lord, more people in San Jose and the surrounding area would repent and be saved and know the Lord Jesus Christ. And for any man that is feeling like that the Lord is calling him to be a preacher, that he would surrender to that very calling this evening. That, Lord, we would be obedient to the ministry of the filthy off-scouring as is written in 1 Corinthians 4. Thank you for Jesus, our mediator and our great high priest. Lord, please, speak to our hearts. We may hide our words, your words, in our hearts and not just our heads for this evening. We pray this in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. When James wrote this epistle, beloved, he wrote it to Jewish believers that were scattered abroad. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad, greeting. But the interesting thing is this. Every church has different sets of sins. Because the sins that may be in one church are also in a different church, but to varying degrees. That what if one church may struggle with materialism, another church may struggle a little bit more with gossip. And if one church struggles with lust problems, maybe another church struggles a little bit more with covetousness. By the way, every sin is wicked in the eyes of God, is it not? I believe that sodomy is an absolutely wicked sin. But interesting to note that sodomy did not make the list of abominations in Proverbs chapter 6. Pride, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a wicked heart that devises wicked imaginations, a false witness that speaketh lies. Lying made the list twice. We need to be people of truth. In James 1, James deals with the problem of going through trials and keeping the word of God and not just hearing it. In chapter 2, he deals with the problem of church members who said that they had great faith, but they did nothing for their brothers and sisters who had great needs. By the way, we ought to be sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit of God that if there's a brother or sister who comes in with any kind of need, physical, prayer need, spiritual need, that we can just that we stop what we're doing and we don't just say, okay, brother, I'm praying for you. We go up and we say, hey, brother, let's pray right now. The fact about truth, beloved, it demands our actions right now. Maybe we need to plan for it right now, or maybe we need to act upon it, but demands some kind of action right now and right here then. Chapter 3, James deals with the problems of believers who's talking out of both sides of their mouths. People who brought bitter envy and strife from the church of God and thought they could bless people while at the same time curse people. I don't know if you've noticed this, but here in the Bay Area, I've noticed that there's a lot more mental illness cases out here. We're dealing with a lot of people who are trying to believe in falsehood while at the same time they're presented with the truth. And the fact of the matter is you cannot believe in truth and falsehood at the same time. You look at the very word schizophrenia, schizo, split, phronein, mind. Schizophrenia, a split mind. And people are losing their minds because they are presented with the truth, but they are willfully rejecting it. I wonder how many Christians have lost their minds because, you know, they are presented with the truth of God. Hey, go soul winning, present the truth, be a blessing to other people, but we're gossiping or we're not acting in accordance with Matthew chapter 18. Hey, if you got a problem with the brother, don't spread it on Facebook. Don't text others about it. Hey, see the brother or sister face to face and get it settled right there before you gossip about it before other people. You know how to have a healthy mind? Have one mind. One mind. With one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. Beloved, I know that the majority of you are on the same page, but the people who are Sunday morning only don't know that, and they need to hear it from our voices every now and then, that they be of the same mind in the Lord Jesus Christ, so we could have one speech in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ as well. James chapter 4 and 5, James deals with the problem of worldliness and rich members who didn't have faith like the way they should have. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but that they do good, they communicate and be willing and ready to distribute. I was knocking doors not too far from here off of Cochrane Road, I think it was, in Tolosa, and there's a lot of homes out there. And we need to be bold and ask, hey, on the back side of this flyer, sir, a couple verses that tell you how to have a 100% relationship with God. Because when we pass away from this life, I think a lot of people don't realize we can't take it with us. And I think a lot of people, you know, I've noticed something that, I'm not saying we should go around and being sad and melancholy all the time, but did you notice that when funerals and death happens, it catches a lot of people off guard? Because we spend so much of our time, you know, just living it up and, you know, spending our time to you know, hey, let's check this out on Google and Yelp and what's the next five-star cafe we can hit it up. And people spend their time just eating and drinking and making merchandise for the simple thought of, hey, can I get away from the thought of death for just a minute? And my prayer is for this church that God would give you great liberty and great clearing so that you can present the gospel and share Jesus and explain truth to the people, your friends and family and people in your communities. And that means we have to confront them with uncomfortable truths. Hey, did you know that hell is not a comfortable doctrine? I don't like talking about hell, I'll be honest. But we have to talk about Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Because the Joel Osteen gospel and the Rick Warren gospel and the new evangelical gospel is a false gospel. It doesn't want to talk about sin. They don't want to talk about hell. They just want to talk about your best life now, and that's about it. Hey, the best life is yet to come. If we think that these bodies filled with cancer and limited by sin and limited to by our 80 years or however old the Lord will give us is our best life, you got to be out of your mind. Hey, beloved, we got to be eternally minded if we're going to have eternal value within this life. Because the longer that established churches wait around, the less likely we are to have grace. Oh, well, we can just, you know, run through the Sunday routine because that's just the way we've always done it. Hey, beloved, God has promised to bless His Word and promised to bless us with the anointing of the Spirit. He's never promised to bless simply because this is just the way we've done tradition. We follow not after the traditions of men and the rudiments of this world. I'm okay with biblical tradition. That's the tradition we ought to follow. But the rudiments of this world, that's God never promised to bless us. And there are things, beloved, that God blesses in spite of us, but not necessarily because of us. I mean, look at, He still allowed Solomon's name to be written in the Bible in spite of the fact that Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. I mean, who would want 1,000 mothers-in-law? I'm probably going to get some grief after that, you know. But I love my mother and my mother-in-law very much. They bless me. They're praying for me right now. But hey, you know what? Churches assume that, hey, we can just do things the way we've always done. You know, God's never promised to bless that. You ever notice in the book of Revelation how God commands 5 of those 7 churches to repent? I mean, He's not talking to a bunch of lost, filthy sinners. He's talking to churches, the Christian Baptists. Saved, baptized, in agreement with the statement of faith, not following after, you know, whoever's the Calvinist on Twitter or whatever like that. Saved Christian Baptists, and He commands us to still repent. Hey, beloved, we got to have more. We got to have more. And it's not going to come by just doing the same old thing. It's got to come by more of the presence of God. And if the Shadow Mountain Baptist Church is going to be a successful ministry, we got to have more of certain things. Here in America, we do have more of everything. We've got one of the highest GDPs and incomes in the world. As our expanding waistlines will show, we have more food. You know, as our 52-inch, I don't even know what's the standard, maybe 80-inch screen TVs show, we have more of entertainments and more sports and everything like that. Here in the Bay Area, in Silicon Valley, the birthplace of the iPhone, we have more driven people who want to achieve success in business. And there's nothing wrong with doing well in life. Abraham was a rich man. Solomon was a rich man. David had wealth and gold and silver beyond abundance. You know? But I'm afraid that in our pursuit of financial security, that this has entirely taken the pursuit of God. And I'm afraid that as we desire more and more of everything else in this life, there's less and less room to desire the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's less and less time to desire giving the gospel out to people because our minds are so focused on the one thing of just paying the bills instead of giving the souls over to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm afraid that as we desire more and more to climb the corporate ladder and to have fun in life, the less we consider God's call to preach or preaching the gospel and making disciples in foreign lands. Hey, beloved, have you ever knocked doors in your community and found out you couldn't speak English to 3/4 of the people you knocked doors to? Inside my New Testament Bible, I have a pointy talkie. Justin, what's that? A pony talkie is an introduction in another language. Hi, my name's Justin. I'm from Shadow Mountain Baptist Church. On the backside of this flyer tells you how you can be 100% sure that heaven will be your home. Buenos dias. Mi nombre es Justin Fong. Soy de la Iglesia Bautista de Monte Sombra. Estoy aquí para visitarle, para explicar lo que dice la Biblia. Cómo puedes saber, cómo te puedes tener la vida eterna, 100% seguro. 我们家家境我是从新进新, no, that's Heritage Baptist Church, you know, but that's in Mandarin, in case you're wondering. And I've knocked doors off of Union City, and everybody in there is a Sikh, a Punjabi Sikh, the turban folks with the brace of very calm people. Hey, have you noticed that the mission field is right here in our doorstep? And some of us who know a foreign language, we ought to be doing more for that. And the more we desire favor with people, the less we desire the favor of God to become like the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you cannot want everything. You can have all of what you want some of the time. You can have some of what you want all the time. But you cannot have all of what you want all the time. And there needs to be a replacement in our lives where we come to God, repentant and surrendered to say, hey God, what I want more than anything else is more of the Lord Jesus Christ. In my life, in your life, in the lives of our leaders, in the lives of the people of San Jose. Hey, does it bother you that there are only two independent Baptist churches winning souls in San Jose, in the Cupertino area, Mountain View? Does it bother you? Like the way it bothers me? Does it bother you that there are very few churches in the Oakland area? In fact, we could tell you about more churches like us in the Oakland area that shut their doors and packed up their bags and went to do an easier ministry out in the Midwest or somewhere like that. Does it bother you? Because here's a fact, beloved. I just came back from the Philippines. And I've noticed that the more we deal with hardened people, did you know that it makes us hardened as well? Did you know that the more we deal with the no, that we just kind of get accustomed to it and we tend not to love people as much? And we're not going to win the world with less love. We're going to win the world with more love and more truth. And unfortunately, in a very hardened society like the Bay Area that you and I live in and minister in, and God willing, we're going to die in giving out the gospel, it becomes very easy for us to become very hardened because we deal with hardened people all the time. Hey, because of the love of because of iniquity, the love of many shall wax cold. Are you content with what you are currently receiving from God? Or do you want more? Are you content with the fact that the San Jose Bay Area still stands at about 70% irreligious or unaffiliated? Are you content with the fact that the vast majority of churches in Silicon Valley, they believe that you can get saved by washing away your sins? And they're not out soul winning, they're stealing members from other churches. What will you do differently within your life in 2019? What will be different this time? Because we cannot get more if we're going to stay the same. Notice with me the three qualities that we need more of in our Christian lives and in our Baptist churches. Number one, beloved, we need more grace. But I've got grace. Yes, praise the Lord for that. But do you have more grace? We were talking in staff meeting and we came to the conclusion, we're not going to plant more churches in Richmond, San Francisco, and San Jose with our current soul winning and the current amount of grace. We're going to need more. We're going to need some full-time soul winners for that. Full-time soul winning, how am I going to do that? Hey, when you walk to your car, pass out some tracts on the way over to people on your car. You say, well, what if they might reject me? Hey, that's five more people you tried to get the gospel to than if you did nothing at all. Grace is love or favor that we don't deserve. It's closely connected with power to overcome problems that we cannot overcome in our own strength. Brother, the reason why you and I ever graduated from Bible college was because of the grace of God. You ever hear of a church split? I had a room split. No joke. I mean, in my senior year, my mom had cancer for the third time. And in my first semester, both my roommates were divided against each other. Eventually, one of them left and went back home for health reasons. And then, second semester, I thought, oh, it's going to be better. And then the guy was split against me. Eventually, he left two-thirds way through the semester. I mean, you ever hear of a church split? This was a room split in Gibbs Baptist Dormitory. It's only by the grace of God that we continue. Only God can give this grace. I think you understand that. But did you know that only God can give more of this grace? Hey, are you content with the amount of grace that you're receiving from God? Or do you want more? The grace of God is evident in His presence. It's evident whenever people repent of their sins and false religions and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of God is evident whenever Christians live for God and not for themselves. Now, I believe I'm preaching to the choir. I'm watching the attention on people's faces. I believe that people are pretty much sold out for what's happening here. But every empty seat represents someone who's not convinced of that. And they're going to need to see more grace in our hearts and more grace in our lives if they're going to plant themselves in a seat here this evening and hear the preaching of the Word of God when your pastor comes back in town after his much-needed anniversary trip. The reason why people don't live more for God is because they don't have more grace. It's not because they lack Bible knowledge. We're learning head knowledge, heart knowledge of the Bible all the time. The reason why people don't live more for God is because they don't have more grace. They never once thought about it, never once considered how much they need God to play favorites with them. Hey, beloved, do you know that God wants to play favorites with you? Oh, well, Brother Justin, I thought God was equal, and He is equal. He is equally plays favorites to anyone who comes to Him saying, Lord, I need more of You. Lord, I've got everything. The bills are paid, but I need more of You. Lord, I need to see more people get saved when I go out soul winning. Lord, I need to see more Christians who commit and live for Jesus Christ when I deal with them in Sunday school class. Lord, I need to see more young men who will surrender to the call to be a preacher of the gospel and not quit. Brother, you've been in the ministry, what, 9 years? 8 years. Me, this is my 7th year. Most staff members quit after their 2nd or 3rd year. Most pastors leave the ministry after their 7th year. But you don't see fruit until your 10th year in the Bay Area. How are we supposed to do a work of God if more grace is not going to keep us rooted to produce more fruit? You don't get more fruit when you uproot your lemon tree and plant it in a new spot all the time. And granted, maybe God does lead a man of God to another location. But if pastors and staff members and people are changing their churches all the time or changing their feelings all the time about how God's going to use them, how is God going to bring forth more fruit within the Shadow Mountain Baptist Church? You need God to play favorites with you in your prayer time, beloved. Because without asking for His grace, we're not going to ask for the right things. Did you know that God wants some of you who are in good health to fast and pray? 3 days, 7 days, 14 days. Did you know that God wants to pour out an abundance of His power upon this church for more grace if people will fast and pray and confess the sins of our church and of ourselves and of our families and of our generation and of this? Hey, does it bother you that in Virginia and in New York City infanticide is legal? Does it bother you that the same people who would call the cops if you ran over a kitten on accident, they don't have a problem with aborting a full-term baby? We need to see some more answers to prayer. Well, praise the Lord for what's already been answered in the prayer, but we need some more answers to prayer. San Jose and Cupertino and Redwood City and San Francisco and Daly City and Petaluma need some more independent, fundamental, Baptist, soul-winning, Spirit-filled, non-charismatic, non-Calvinist churches. Does it bug you the fact that in the 1040 window, we have one missionary there in Colombo, Sri Lanka, who's trying to reach 22 million people all by himself? When was the last time you heard of one missionary trying to reach 22 million people? We need some people who will fast and pray this year. We need some people who have God playing favorites with you in your Bible time and your prayer and your preaching time. Because you know what? The Bible doesn't say, thy word have I hid in my head that I might not sin against thee. I think that's the reason why a lot of people never live for Jesus like the way they should. They let the word of God get stuck in their heads without getting it branded upon their hearts. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Hey, beloved, open thy mouth wide and the Lord will fill it. How much of God is in your mouth? You know, you'd have to break your jaw for that. But you know what? If you had to break your spiritual jaw so that the Lord could fill more of your mouth and fill more of your head and your heart, it's worth it. But that brokenness is going to come with a price. Because it's going to come with more trials. I don't know what the trials would be, and I pray that God will give you the victory to overcome them and still stay faithful to the Lord Jesus and to the church that he's called you to be and do and serve in with this part wholeheartedly. But I'm just telling you, more grace will come with more trials soon. More grace to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost in all things. I believe that the Holy Ghost is one of the most underrepresented members in the Trinity within our Baptist churches. We've gotten so organized that we don't even allow him to organize. Hey, you know, you need to give a tract. Like, oh, come on, Lord, it's not really convenient. Look, man, is it the devil telling you to give him a tract? Sure isn't the devil telling you to pray for that, brother. More grace for the calling and in the development of preachers. I'm not content with the fact that there's only that less people are going to Bible college and less people are surrendering to be preachers than ever before. The need has not gotten smaller. More grace in our servant leadership development. Man, I know that we are dealing with a very anti-Christian community. But you know what? It's going to require us to have more grace. We're going to be the servant leaders, to have more influence with people, convince them of the truth that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to, Brother Matt, I don't know how often you check the Twitter feeds, but I think a lot of people, they're trying to outwit each other more than they are trying to out-help or out-grace each other. I don't know if that bothers you like the way it bothers me. Everybody's trying to go for an intellectual stimulus. Servant leadership development is not just how much I can outwit people on Facebook. It's about how many more feet can I wash? How many more dishes can I wash on a big day? How many more people can I give the gospel to within a month? How much more liberty and grace can I get from the Holy Spirit of God? Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There needs to be more liberty from the Holy Ghost in our lives. But it cannot come without 2 Corinthians chapter 7, great clearing. You say, what do you mean by great clearing? The reason why more grace doesn't come is because you've got to clear some things out. You wouldn't try to sow seeds in a weed-sown lot. You'd have to buzzwhack that whole thing and plow up the dirt and pour manure fertilizer all over it, and then start sowing your seeds. And what God has to do in our lives sometimes in order for more grace and more of the Holy Spirit's presence to come down so that the will of the Father and the work of the Son may be done, he's going to have to buzzwhack some things that we're holding on to very preciously. Is it a job addiction? Is it a hobby? Is it something that's stealing from our witnessing time? I don't know. But I'm just speaking from very general things. I don't know the people in this congregation other than Brother Matt. I went to school with Mrs. Ashley. But I can only speak in terms of generalities because I don't know this congregation like the way I ought to. But the Holy Spirit's going to have to tear up some things that we wanted so badly. Oh, I wanted to buy that for myself. But what if the Lord wanted you to give it for a building fund or for missions or for the tithes? More grace to give like the way you ought to. I'm not sure how many people are or aren't tithing. But maybe the reason why there's been some financial setback. I'm not talking about wear and tear. Okay, if you get 300,000 miles out of your car and it breaks down, you know, that's just wear and tear. I'm talking about collateral. I'm talking about accidents that should have been prevented. But some of us in this room are going to have to go forward with more grace in our giving. Did you know that there are many churches in the 1040 window that suffer loss because some of us are too busy enjoying some of our hobbies rather than sending it to a preacher who needs to feed his wife and three kids trying to do, you know, bivocational ministry? I think that those of you who tithe and give offerings, you understand the value of a biblical message because of a tithe and an offering. But really, Justin, it's a tough financial year. Go forward. Tell the children of Israel they go forward. And this is before the water even parted. Hey, beloved, if you want to see God part some water for you, you got to go forward. And that's going to require some grace in our giving. I'm not sure what you've committed or what you haven't committed, but you know what? You're going to need more grace to make that commitment. You say, well, I don't have it. Hey, commit what you do have. Jesus never commands us to give what we don't have, the invisible and the intangible. He always commands us based upon what we already are and what we already have. More grace. More grace. More of God playing favorites with the Shadow Mountain Baptist Church and all of her members. More grace, because the grace that you're getting right now is not enough. But number two, beloved, notice with me that we not only need more grace, you're going to have to ask God for more humility. God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. That's James quoting Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but gives grace unto the lowly. God makes fun of proud people. Did you know that? He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. He shall have all those nations within derision. Because the longer we try to hold out on God, the more we see our spiritual lives go into mediocrity. And the more we have a split mind, we start losing our minds because we try to fight against the truth. Humility is defined as freedom from pride and arrogance, humbleness of mind, a deep sense of one's own unworthiness inside of God, self-abasement, penitence for sin, submission to the divine will. We've heard it said that humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking nothing of yourself. The purpose of humility is to bring ourselves lower so that God can be lifted up higher. You know, beloved, I believe that we should not market church, we should need to start marketing Jesus. You know, I think you've been around on Twitter long enough and Facebook long enough, a lot of people are trying to market their church. But you know what, we're not here to market a church, we're here to market the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is bigger than my church, Heritage Baptist Church, he's bigger than this church, Shadow Mountain Baptist Church. And if we take care of the head, guess what takes care of itself? The body. More humility. We don't do what we do for the advancement of ourselves, but rather the glory of God and the betterment of others. You know why God sends health problems? Because when we go out soul winning on Saturday morning, those medical personnel are not home. Where are they at? In the hospital. And God wants us to be good witnesses to those doctors and to those nurses, to share the gospel with them. Because you know that some people, they're never going to hear the gospel if all we do is house-to-house soul winning. We've got to do hospital soul winning too. Door-to-door. I mean, and there's one really ghetto hospital not too far where our church is. I mean, they literally have bars on the windows to prevent the patients from throwing themselves off the balconies and killing themselves. But you know what? That hospital is run by immigrant staff who really don't care whether or not you visit. I mean, sometimes people are like, oh, well, you know, all the rules and stuff like that. You're a visiting member of the minister. You can only visit this patient. I mean, these people, yeah, just visit whoever in the world you want. Sometimes I believe it's a good idea to find a really ghetto hospital and find a really ghetto nursing home so you go door to door and visit the patients there and give them the gospel. That's an opportunity right there. Seek and ye shall find. The issue, beloved, is not that God is not giving us opportunities. The issue is that we're not taking the ones that he's already given us. I think we all know this, but there's not a lot of humility within our society, and it's even worse when there's less humility within our Baptist churches. Hey, beloved, let me ask you a question. When was the last time you asked God for more humility in your life? I'm not just saying, Lord, make me be humble. I'm asking you, when was the last time you asked God to fill you with more humility? Now, I know that the bottomless pit is reserved for the devil and whoever else, but you know, there needs to be a bottomlessness when it comes to our humility. There's no depth we're unwilling to stoop to for Jesus Christ's sake. I think a problem within our society is that we want to save face. Well, it's going to be really awkward if I ask him the 100% question or if I open up my Bible and talk to him. You know what, beloved? We are not commanded to live for ourselves. We're commanded to live for Christ. Now, what they do, whether they reject it or whether they receive it, that's irrelevant. But did we present it is the real question. Hey, today can't be the day of salvation if we won't make today the day of the gospel. Look it, we are responsible for giving the gospel out. They are responsible for rejecting it or receiving it. He is responsible for saving them and growing them. That's a threefold responsibility. Hey, beloved, are we humble enough to accept our responsibilities? Because proud men don't want to accept the responsibility. Oh, that's for me, my dignity. Yeah, that's, well, let the staff do that. Well, let the pastor do that. Hey, you know what? You know, your pastor could get a lot more done and go a lot more deeper in the prayer and go a lot more deeper in the preaching of the Word of God and a lot more deeper in his studies if the members of the Shadow Mountain Baptist Church would stoop to a new level of humility. Or rather, I should say rise to a new level of humility. Because look what God does for those who humble themselves. He gives grace to the humble. Humility is how brethren forgive one another. Because pride says, I'm right, and she needs to get things right with me. No. Humility just says, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm not sure what I did, but I want to make things right. Even if it means we have to keep our distance so we can still be on the same page and in the same book. Humility is how we love one another, because you know what? Pride wants to love ourselves. We live in a perverted society where we think that, well, let me just get married for 5 years, and once she's unattractive, I'll walk out. You know, humility says we're going to stay with this. Humility says, how can I, as a husband, be a stronger head to make a strong body? I know I'm preaching at the choir here, but if all of us husbands would just pray that God would make us be stronger heads so that we would have stronger wives in Jesus Christ, I think that would fix a lot of the marital problems within this church. And maybe we could give a little bit more emphasis on the winning of souls. I'm not saying marriage conferences are bad. I pray that God would use a marriage conference to bring a repentance and revival upon the marriage of this church. But you know what? In this church, I believe that God raised this church up to change people's eternal destinies. And before we can have a change in our eternal destinies for our marriage, it needs to come with the message of the eternal life. Lack of humility is the reason why people won't do the dirty work, because it's beneath our dignity. Janitors for Jesus is not just a good idea. It needs to be the title of every person within this room. Lack of humility is the reason why we won't win souls, because, hey, telling people about the blood, telling people about hell and sin, that'll make people offended at us. Hey, did you know they got offended at John the Baptist and Jesus? Did you know there's an entire generation of people that refused John the Baptist and Jesus' message because John talked about the things of the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you know that? Humility is the reason, is how we can take the smiting on the cheek and get cursed down and just say, you know what? That comes with the territory. We're going to find us a new field where they do accept us. Lack of humility is the reason why there's less grace or no grace in our Baptist churches. And I don't believe that this church is lacking grace, but what I'm talking about this. Let's take the good that God is doing here and make it to something better. Let's take the humility that God is doing within this church right now and turn it into more humility in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Humility is very closely tied to repentance and forgiveness, because proud men don't ask for forgiveness. Lord, what sins have I committed that I've overlooked? That's humility. Because we confess the known sins. Lord, what are the unknown sins? And just wait for 15 seconds to let the Holy Ghost bring up something that an obligation we forgot to fulfill, and let the Holy Ghost convict us of something we said. Oh man, that really quenched the spirit right there. Oh, maybe I should have not said that the way I should have. Maybe I should have done this a little bit more graciously. Humility is asking, Lord, what do you want to improve in my life? Because if we get general prayers, we're going to get general requests. But if you and I pray with specific prayers, we're going to get specific requests. By the way, we can still be the best at something and still be humble. Working smarter and harder in private than everyone else doesn't mean that we must have a proud attitude in public. Michael Jordan used to make 10,000 baskets a day before the sun went down. Someone once asked him, hey, why don't you do those crazy slam dunks and all those stuff that you do? He said, nah, I'd rather just work on my dribble. Here's a man that's an MVP Hall of Famer. Hey, did you know that within the Shadow Mountain Baptist Church, God wants to take the good that you're doing and make it better and best and still keep us with a humble attitude with it? I'm talking about more grace, because the grace that you and I are receiving is not enough. I'm talking about more humility, because the humility that we already have is not deep enough, and God wants to do some more humbling works in our lives. But beloved, more grace and more humility cannot come without number three, more submission. Number three, more submission. Let's read verses 7 through 11 on the count of 7. 1, 2, 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil of one another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. But after speaking on grace and humility, James gives us a holy to-do list and a bunch of commandments. Submission to God to resist the devil. Hey, beloved, did you know that the reason why the devil works in people's lives is because most people never resist him? You know, if someone were to come in and try to kick down my door, I'd try to resist them. Grab whatever I've got within the safe and put one in the chamber and pray that he's 100% sure he goes to heaven before I call the cops. But most people, the way we allow the devil and the flesh and the world to tempt us and lead us away, it's like they're walking right into an open door. Hey, did you know that it's okay to have struggles? Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Hebrews chapter 12. Did you know that fighting against sin sometimes gets bloody? Did you know that? Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Hey, you know what? God already took the first step by offering Jesus upon a cross for us. We need to take the next step by drawing nigh unto him. Draw nigh. Peter followed afar off. Cleansing our hands, purifying our hearts. You double-minded. There it is again. Schizophrenia. Schizophrenia. Split mind. A split mind cannot function 100%. I've dealt in the nursing home industry. I've watched people who've had strokes just rupture everything. People like my grandfather, who once were brilliant engineers. People like my other grandfather, who was a very accomplished farmer and just, worked himself up from the clothes on his back. And yet, when stroke took away everything, there was nothing left. And that's what happens to a lot of people who become double-minded within their Christianity. They want to hold on to what the world has to offer or what they want to pursue in addition to Jesus Christ. And by the time their lives are over, there's nothing left. Purifying our hearts. Be afflicted is another way of saying be humble. I'm not saying walk around depressed. But did you know that hard times in life make us be sober and they make us really reevaluate what are our priorities? One of the brothers and sisters, I forget who it was, talked about the Paradise Fire. The man whom I bought my car from, my pre-owned car, his brother lost everything in the fire up in Paradise. Sent a little something to him to help with the rebuilding process. Hard times make us evaluate. And it's in hard times that you know that God gives some of the deepest explanations of the Bible to help you and me go deeper into things in the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, James chapter 4:11, speak evil is the word for slander. Okay? Something unbelievers do of unbelievers. It's not talking about, hey, did you know that this guy was looking at pornography? Hey, did you know that she was gossiping? And hey, did you know that he went to the club and party? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, oh, well, I don't like how so-and-so got to sing the special number. He must be, going left in his music. Well, she got to present the lesson. She might be a Calvinist. That's what I'm talking about. Okay? Envying and jealousy that brings about strife and division with biblical Baptist churches. Hey, beloved, grace cannot come without humility. Humility cannot come without submission to God's commandments. And I know that we're in a society that just wants to simplify everything. Well, all you got to do is love people. Love, this all this commandments business, it's all about love. Hey, did you know that love is the first and second commandment, but it's not the only commandment? And a lot of churches, all they want to talk about is love. Not about the love of God, not about love for the brethren, love for lost souls. But the kind of love they're talking about is the state of being comfortable. And God does not call you and me into biblical Baptist churches and to win souls and to serve Him and to be filled with the Spirit and to pray and to fast and to study the Word so we can become comfortable, but so we can comfort other people by the commandments of God. People speak of love because they really love themselves, not because they're talking about a love for God. This know also, in the last days perilous times shall come, men shall be lovers of their own selves, proud, wicked, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungodly, unthankful, unholy. And the commandments that God works out for you and me is the way that He wants to bring us into submission unto you. Bring us into submission unto Him, excuse me. We got to follow these commandments. Without charity, we are nothing. That is true. But Paul also said in Hebrews 12:14, follow peace and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Hey, did you know that God wants to take this church to be a holier church? One of the things the Lord convicted me of is, hey, Justin, instead of spending your time on evenings after work when you're done just eating and chilling out in front of YouTube on a good outdoors channel, why don't you use that time to, read missionary letters instead and do mission and check out the missions overhead so you can give more time in your day to soul winning. hey, Justin, why don't you use that time to read some of the massive library you've got, so instead of filling your head with just whatever's on you know, whatever you, you know, whatever's on, you know, Cooking Channel. I mean, it does our soul good to watch a Cooking Channel every now and then, okay? You know, I mean, Jesus used the parables of food, but you know, Justin, instead of doing that, why don't you read Bud Calvert's book on church planting and redeem the time because the days are evil, so you can give more time in your day to winning of souls and study of the Word and teaching men and women how to pray, how to get in touch with God. Do you feel like you're the only one at times when you serve God? And you need more. More grace, more humility, more submission, more repentance. Repentance, I know, is not a very popular topic in our day and age. But repentance is such a biblical topic. Jesus preached it. John the Baptist preached it. So did Peter, Paul, and John the Apostle. They all preached on repentance. Hey, beloved, what does God want to do within your heart? Are you content with where you're at? Or do you want God to do more? Shall we all stand as we give the invitation for this time? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I believe God called you into this building this evening, into this church. To be under the pastoral leadership of Pastor Kyle Haynes and the staff here. That God would do more with your life. How many of you would say with a raised hand, Brother Justin, I believe God wants to do more grace and more humility and more submission in my life. Would you raise your hand just out of all honesty so I can pray for you? Okay. If you raise your hand, why don't you make your commitment and make the altar here. This altar is open for you. Don't be ashamed to come to the altar. Altars are where we make a commitment to God to pray for that. Well, I can pray in my seat. I know. But if you do it publicly, God will bless you publicly. Is what we're talking about. Why don't you come forward right now, with or without the music, to make your commitment before God, for God to do more grace, more humility, more submission within your heart.